Before we get started today, I want to go ahead and apologize that there's some extra clicking and popping noise in the background about halfway through this episode. Tommy and I tried to edit out as best we could, but unfortunately we weren't able to get all of it completely out. So when you're listening to it, just pretend that it's some chattering teeth or chomping teeth. Once you listen to the whole episode, you'll understand why. We apologize for the quality of it, and we've kind of isolated what the problem was, and it shouldn't happen again. So hope you enjoy this episode.
Court Appointed is meant to be for entertainment purposes and basic legal information only.
Nothing in this podcast should be considered as legal representation nor legal advice.
Only use the knowledge presented herein to dazzle your friends or possibly win bar trivia.
Dr. Lawyer, Indian Chief. For my life with songs of grief, with the yellow fear and fearless eyes. He's temper all the times, the times I've tried.
Welcome to Court Appointed, 2 Dudes' Perspective on Legal Frivolity. I'm your co-host, Mike Meadows. I'm a lawyer and a dude.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Smurl. And I am just a dude.
Today's episode is about cannibalism and the law. This topic was sent in to us via email by a Jeffrey D., wanting to know a bit about cannibalism and the legalities around it.
Cannibalism? Are you kidding me?
No, cannibalism.
Is that... I know cannibalism is a real thing, but that letter is a real thing? That's what we got?
That's what we got from a Jeffrey D.
Man.
No last name.
Somebody better put a trace on that. This dude is up to something. He's wanting to know about cannibalism. He's wanting to know how much he can eat, legally eat or something. Is it like fishing or something? You're allowed so many pounds?
No, I think he just wanted to know basically where he stood with the law and cannibalism. So...
Where do you stand on cannibalism? I'm for it.
On one leg.
What's
somebody
eating
ate
you?
My other one.
What is eating you lately? The neighbor.
So the interesting thing is when I was researching about cannibalism and the law is that there's actually not any specific crime against cannibalism in the United States or really pretty much anywhere.
What? You're allowed to eat people? That's an okay thing?
Well, no, you're not allowed to eat people because there's other crimes which pretty much cover that. But there's no specific laws which say you can't eat someone.
Well, I mean, I would never want to eat someone. Still, though, it seems like there'd be something against that. What if you just nibbled on them and, well, heck, Mike Tyson did that. He ate an ear. He's still walking amongst us.
That was assault. So it was a different crime.
Salt and pepper on that ear, and then he ate it.
Did he eat it, or did he just spit it out?
I think he spit one out, and I think he ate the other. Because he got both of them, I'm pretty sure.
Is it buy one, get one free?
Yeah. Poor old, what was his name that he was fighting?
Evander Holyfield.
Evander Holyfield. He looks like one of those dogs where they trim their ears into a point now.
Yeah.
He's got two pointy ears.
Pitbull.
Fetch, Evander, fetch.
Well, so as I was saying.
I wouldn't say that to Evander.
No, definitely not. That guy would knock your block off. So there's basically, like I said, there's no law against cannibalism, but generally these
I can't
cases,
believe that.
Yeah, the cases that result from it are usually a murder, like somebody killed somebody and then ate them, or they came across a dead body and then desecrated or abused a corpse, which both of those are crimes. So,
well, thank God there's some sanity left in the world.
Yeah, it's kind of strange though. You think, oh, cannibalism, that's got to be illegal. Not really.
I don't know where that leaves us as a society. It's okay to eat people. As long as you don't kill them first.
Well, that can be a problem if you kill them first. And there's not any really good defenses to killing somebody first either before you eat them. And that leads us into one of the first cases, which most lawyers learn about in law school, R.V. Dudley and Stevens.
R.V. Dudley and Stevens. They were in something to do with an R.V.?
No, I think the R is it's a case that took place in England, and I think the R stands for Royal.
Oh, Royal.
Right. I'm not really certain, though.
So the Royals versus Dudley and Stevens.
That's right.
So Dudley and Stevens, they're the ones on the wrong end of this deal.
Yeah, they're on the business end of the prosecution.
They're on the business end of the crab.
they put somebody else on the business end or something. I don't know.
They put the bite on them.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil it yet, but we'll get into it.
A little dabble, do you?
So this case is the one that a lot of people in
We're laughing
school,
about cannibalism.
I know. What kind of world is it we live in?
Has it been long enough? How old is this case?
It's long ago. It's 1860s, maybe 1870s, something like that. It's pretty old.
All right. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Enough time has passed. We're not stepping on any toes here.
Yeah. Abraham Lincoln was too soon, but this isn't.
Yeah. Well, that was a little bit later, huh?
Yeah, just a little bit. And plus, that was in America, so it's kind of different.
Oh, that's true. This is in England.
Yes.
They take offense. You ain't Smedley. What are you doing eating Smedley? Smedley was a good fellow.
Smedley was a good chap.
He was very good, especially with barbecue sauce.
Smedley was good with little HP sauce. This case, the reason that you learn it in law school is that it stands for the proposition that necessity is not a defense for murder. So to kind of set the scene about this case, Dudley and Stevens, who were the two defendants in this case, they were shipwrecked.
Shipwrecked. That's another thing altogether.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
I do.
Shipwrecked?
Yeah.
What's shipwrecked?
Shipwrecked is a ship that they have every year that sets sail that you can buy tickets on, and all these rock bands are on it, and it's hosted by Octane off of the Sirius Network.
Oh, well, Shipwrecked.
It's my favorite channel.
There you go. I learn something new every day.
That's right. Shipwrecked is a thing. Takes place yearly. All the current rock and roll bands are on there. But I digress.
Well, Dudley and Stevens were not on a pleasure cruise.
There's nothing pleasurable about this cruise.
with rock bands. They were shipwrecked, and their yacht, which was called the Minuette, M-I-G-N-O-E-T-T-E. I think it's Minuette.
The Minnow? Was it a three-hour tour?
A little bit longer than that.
It looks like filet mignon's in there somewhere. I don't know. Mignonette.
And that comes in the end here.
It looks like that, yeah. Yeah, there is. They filleted him like a fish.
So Dudley and Stevens were on this boat, the Minuette or the Mignon. Let's just call it the Mignon. That's fitting.
Mignonette.
Dudley was the Tom Dudley. He was the captain. Edwin Stevens and Edmund Brooks were the two other crew members. And then there is Richard Parker. He was a 17-year-old cabin boy. Mm. He was on the ship.
And they referred to him as fresh meat.
So they got into a gale and they had to evacuate or abandon the ship. And they all got into a lifeboat. And the only thing that they were able to grab on the lifeboat with them was some basic navigational instruments and two tins of turnips.
Man, I'd be out of luck. I don't like turnips.
Yeah, you'd probably eat them, though.
No, I'd just eat one of the other dudes. If that's legal.
They unfortunately didn't grab any fresh water to drink or anything like that. So all they had was just some turnips. And there's probably a joke in there about them in a lifeboat waiting for another boat to show up or turn up or something.
Waiting for one to turn up.
Yeah. We might have to edit that out. So on July 13th, which was about 7 or 8 days after they were shipwrecked on this lifeboat, they didn't have any water or anything like that. That's when they started to drink their own urine.
Oh, that sounds delightful.
Yeah. So things started to get pretty dire on that lifeboat. Just to kind of set the scene a little bit. They couldn't drink the seawater, obviously, because it's salt water, and that would actually dehydrate you more. It was about that time that Parker...
There's something that just doesn't square all that. Don't drink the seawater. Here, have my urine. If I've got to choose between the two, I'm afraid I'm going to drink seawater.
Tough times call for tough choices.
Oh, man. Punch me in the nose, get a bloody nose, and drink blood. I'm not going to drink the urine.
Well, they actually they were able to capture a sea turtle, and they kind of used that. As well, and they were trying to drink the blood of that, but they got some seawater on the blood of the turtle, and they couldn't drink it either because it got contaminated.
Man,
so yeah, they ate their turnips. They caught a sea turtle and they tried to drink its blood, but that so
if it weren't for bad luck, they'd have no luck at all.
Pretty much. Couple more days, they started kind of talking about maybe we're gonna have to eat somebody here.
Couple more days, and Dudley started looking like a cheeseburger.
Yeah, it's like that Tom and Jerry cartoon when they're on the boat. And then, like Tom looks over and he sees...
He looks like a chicken leg or whatever, a turkey leg or something.
That's always the classic cartoon thing. I think it was like July 17th or thereabouts, they started talking about eating and eating somebody.
What do you want to talk about today? We've been out here a long time. Let's talk about eating somebody. Oh, yeah, we haven't talked about that. What do you think about that? Sounds interesting.
How do you bring up the subject?
I know. Who breaks the ice with that? So... I was sitting there thinking about eating one of you all. Is there any volunteers?
I was just checking out your calf muscle.
Hold up a head.
So a few more days passed, and Parker, the cabin boy, he was kind of out of it, non-responsive. Steven and Dudley, the two, I guess, protagonists in our story here. I don't know if they're, I guess they'd be protagonists. I don't really know.
They were the eaters.
Yeah.
They were the diners.
They started discussing how they had families. They need to get home to and need to survive. And then Parker, he was probably not going to make it anyway. And he was only a 17-year-old cabin boy.
Probably, a 17-year-old cabin boy is not worth much. Let's eat Parker.
Exactly.
I don't want to eat Parker. He's got a gamey leg.
So the next day. Little Monty Python in there. So the next day, with Stevens holding down Parker's legs, Dudley pushed a penknife into Parker's neck and killed him. The other guy, Brooks, stated that he was not part of the conversation, and he neither agreed or disagreed to the killing, which I find that a little hard to believe, because it's probably not a very big boat.
It's a small boat, and they're all sitting there looking at each other.
Well, regardless, all three of them made him.
But now, there's a couple of interesting things I saw on that. Is that, first of all, is that it said that Dudley and Stevens met eyes. They didn't actually communicate. Okay, let's eat him. First of all, the night before, he was passed out, right?
Yes.
And they discussed eating him then.
Right.
They said, let's hold off. We'll wait till the next day. And this the other one there, Brooks, he didn't comment one way or another. So I think they said that we'll hold off till the next day. They were hoping they'd wake up and he'd be dead and they'd have breakfast.
Pretty much.
But he was still alive, so the subject came up again. So there's three of them awake, drooling over the fourth one that's asleep. And two of them meet eyes, and without a word, they assent that they want to eat him. The third one neither goes along with it or says no. He just sits there staring blankly at the ocean.
Well, I think he was probably busy with his knife and his sharpening tool. You know,
he had putting a bib on. Well, then, after they kill this poor kid, Richard Parker, they kill him, and while they're eating him, they said that Stevens and Brooks actually ate most of him.
Right.
That Dudley didn't eat that much of him. So the guy who didn't consent to it, he dug in.
He was free and clear.
He was a fat guy, right?
Yeah.
He said, it's an all-you-can-eat buffet. You didn't tell me that.
Exactly. He's the guy that showed up to the Sizzler with a plate. And somebody else paid for it. I'll show you. Well, about a couple of weeks later, they were eventually rescued by a German ship. The ship was called the Montezuma, and it eventually got them back to England back in September. So they were at sea for about another month. But eventually, they got back to England. And as soon as they got to England, they got to the Port Authority, and the Port Authority wanted to know, hey, you know, what took place? What happened? Well, they said, well, we had to eat the cabin boy.
Oh, yeah. That happens all the time.
Yeah. Well, in that day and age, it was considered the custom of the sea, and that it was a necessity for them to eat, to survive, to eat them. So that was they thought they were free and clear. Like, hey, we had to do it.
Ate the cabin boy. Okay. Check that one off. All right. We need a new cabin boy. They ate the last one. Next one up. Step one up. Yeah. I want to volunteer for that job.
Send in the next one. So,
send in the next victim, cabin boy.
Yeah. So they were, you know, just, hey, this is what happened. We ate him. And, eventually they got to the police, and the police didn't like that so much. They felt that they'd killed this cabin boy and eaten him. And so they were actually charged and went to trial on that.
But then that one guy that was involved there, Brooks, he made it a point to say, those other two did it. I didn't go along with it. I did eat him. He was there. He was dead. I might as well eat him, but I didn't have anything to do with it.
Right.
Whatever happened to everybody goes down with the ship there.
Yeah. I like this Brooks guy. He's my kind of cannibal.
But, you know, it seems to me that both those fellas, they ended up, they pulled a Ross. It reminds me of on Friends, mm-hmm. when Ross was a professor and he was dating a student. And he said, well, isn't that against the rules? Oh, no, it's frowned upon.
Right.
Yeah. But it's not against the rules. And this is what these guys said. We ate him. We know it's frowned upon, but it's not technically against the rules. It was necessary. It's a custom of the sea. Sure, like, the chicken of the sea. He thought he was having tuna.
Or it's like in Seinfeld when Costanza, George Costanza gets caught having intercourse with the cleaning lady on his desk. And he says, was that wrong? Because I got to tell you, if I had known that I wasn't supposed to do that, I wouldn't have done it.
It didn't say anything specifically in the company policy.
Yeah, I didn't see it in my employment handbook.
Yeah.
I tell you. So, yeah, but they eventually went to trial. And there's a lot of kind of craziness that went on with the trial. The judge, kind of Baron Huddleston, there's reports that he kind of had it in for Dudley and Stevens, much the way Dudley and Stevens had it in for poor Richard Parker. And at every turn, he tried to really put them in jail.
And you know, here's another thing that I find fascinating. Public opinion at the time were behind these three guys. They were like, they were hailing them as heroes. They survived this terrible shipwreck. Were out there for, what, a month or so? Something like that. And survived, and they were hailing. And the brother of this Richard Parker that they ate came up and shook hands with all three of them. And I guess more or less said, I'd have done the same thing. Richard was a good guy. He was very tasteful.
I often thought of eating my brother.
You know, if you're ever shipwrecked and somebody on the boat insults you, the last thing you want to say to them is, oh, eat me.
It's not the proper insult.
They might take you up on it.
Yeah. If you eat me, I hope you gag. Yeah, they eventually were found, guilty of manslaughter and sentenced to 6 months in jail for it.
Well, yeah, but originally they were found guilty of murder and sentenced to death, though, weren't they?
Well, the original trial, I believe they were, but then there was a second trial.
Yeah, because they overturned it. There were several cases that they cited in defense that I thought were interesting, though, as to where they got this information. Man, it's like somebody giving you bad information. It's okay to go do this. Your boss tells you, oh, it's okay to go do this. But then when you actually get caught, you say, well, my boss told me it was all right. No, it wasn't. What?
He must be a moron. What made you think that was okay?
But in those other cases that they quoted, they also involved people being left out to sea. But they drew lots. And whoever got the short lot consented to the others killing him and eating him.
Right.
So that was kind of the difference here. This guy was in a coma, so he didn't consent.
Right. And there was actually one conflicting story that he, whenever they stabbed him, he said something like, why me? Or why?
But up to this point, the courts had been very lenient towards something like this happening. And that this set a major precedent here. You're not allowed to eat your co-worker should you get hungry on a trip.
Right.
Regardless of how bad it is. But there was one I thought was even worse in U.S. versus Holmes. When one of the crewmen, they had to abandon ship, and they got into the lifeboat, and they had to put about 14 to 16 passengers out of the lifeboat because it was overloaded, and they were gonna sink or something. So the guy decided we need 14 or 16 less, and he pushed them out or told them get out into the frigid water where they were going to die. So when they got back, he just said, yeah, that's what I did. I had to do it to save the rest of them. So they thought about that, and they said, well, the law of necessity can't be invoked unless the slayer is found faultless, and he owes no duty to the victim. And they said he did owe duty to those victims because he was a crewman.
Right.
He put him off the side of the boat. But they sentenced him to 6 months in jail and a $20 fine. And he basically killed 14 or 16 people. That's what he got, 6 months and a $20 fine.
It's getting your money's worth.
I mean, so why wouldn't you think, with those kind of things going on, it's okay to eat old Parker?
Exactly. And plus, he was well known to have delicious thighs.
How was he well known for that?
I don't know. The important thing, that, and the reason why this case is always very common in U.S. jurisprudence, is because it stands for the premise that necessity is not a reason why you're allowed to kill someone, or it's not a defense to murder. So it's kind of the underlying thing.
Well, it's like, because your argument, I guess, is, look, we were all going to die if we didn't eat one of us. So for the greater good, we sacrificed him.
Right.
But yet that didn't hold up in this, because the things that they cited in return were it's okay for you to make a sacrifice to save others. It's not okay for you to sacrifice others to save yourself.
Right.
There's a big distinction there.
Yeah, in law we call that like this. Those cases are distinguishable.
Yeah.
You can distinguish those.
Well, in this case, I vote to save me. Now, who shall we eat? And I'm not included.
I'm going to draw lots. Draw straws.
In one of those cases, the guy that talked everybody into drawing lots, he's the one that drew the lot to be eaten. And he just said, oh, hell, it was my idea. Go ahead, eat me.
Which case was that?
And they did. I think that was the St. Christopher case.
So I guess if you if you're the one that said, hey, I got an idea, guys. What do you say?
Yeah, I said, I got an idea. Let's eat somebody. Now, I'm sure when this guy brought it up, he's counting there. You know, let's see, there's six people. I got pretty good odds. It's not going to be me.
Right.
And I'm really hungry.
Yeah.
Let's do this. So then it's like, you draw them, you're the loser. Oh, hell. It was my idea. Okay, go ahead, eat me.
Have you ever been so hungry that you're willing to take a 1 in 6 chance that you might get eaten? If you just say you can eat.
Well, no, but I mean, those are extreme circumstances.
Yes.
Know? I mean, who's ever been in those kind of circumstances? Who knows what you would do in those circumstances, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess so. If the guy had died, they could have eaten him, and nobody would have said too much. I mean, I know you have the desecration of a corpse or whatever
right.
law. I don't know that they had that then.
Right.
I mean, back in those days, I'm not sure about that. But you could have eaten him and gotten off scot-free. That'd have been okay.
Yeah, but for the fact they actually jammed a knife into his neck and killed him.
Yeah. And they said that he woke up when it is, what's happening?
Yeah.
Or something to that effect.
And also the fact that he was a cabin boy. I mean, I can't help but think that, you know, of all the people you're going to kill.
He killed low man on the totem pole.
Pretty much, yeah.
I mean, I really have to say that the captain, if he's a captain, I mean, you always hear that the captain goes down with the ship.
Right.
He should have volunteered. Eat me. Here. Drain my blood.
Yeah.
Jab that knife in my neck. You know? I don't know, but the reasoning was they had families, so they were worth more than that poor 17-year-old cabin boy.
Right. Maybe I missed poor Richard Parker.
One of the things that I thought was really eerily weird, though, about that, Edgar Allan Poe had written a story about 40 years before this happened about four men that got shipwrecked, and they were in a lifeboat. And they had to draw lots to see who would sacrifice their life for the other ones to eat, the exact same circumstances.
Yeah.
And the character that lost was named Richard Parker in the story.
That's so surreal. You can't make that up.
I know. That's just unbelievable that he writes a book, that's the story, and then turn around and here's a major case that sells everything. And Richard Parker. And of course, he didn't consent, though, in this case. He just... He slept late. That's what happens when you sleep late.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe Richard Parker's are well known to be tasty hors d'oeuvres. I don't know.
I've never heard that. Hey, could you bring me a Richard Parker? Okay. That'd be a new hors d'oeuvre.
Yeah.
I'll have a Richard Parker fried.
Yeah, or in the morning after, like, you know, you wake up, you want to have a drink. Instead of a Bloody Mary, you order a Richard Parker.
What did we do? Put him in a blender? They didn't have blenders then. Man, now we're getting way off base.
The other interesting case that is kind of synonymous with cannibalism is that of Alfred Packer. Mm-hmm. And he was an American prospector who confessed to cannibalism back in 1874.
So this one's an American case.
This is an American case. This was in Colorado during the kind of the gold rush time. And Mr. Packer and some of his associates, five other guys, decided to try to go through the mountains of Colorado during a harsh winter against the advice of all people to go through this pass. And Mr. Packer was the only one that basically came down out of the mountains.
Six went in and one came out on the other side.
Pretty much. It was like Thunderdome.
Now,
so
when I looked this guy up, I tell you what, if there was ever a guy that looks like he'd eat you, this guy looks like he'd eat you.
Yeah, that's a scary looking picture.
I would cross the street to the other side if I saw him come walking down the street.
Yeah, he's a scary looking individual. When he came down, his story was kind of conflicting about what happened. I think originally he had said that they had just died, or he didn't know what happened to him.
Well, he said they left him behind.
Oh, that's right. They said his feet were frozen.
His feet were frozen. He couldn't walk. And so the others left him behind.
Right.
And that he had no money or anything left.
Right.
So he sold his rifle for $10 and went to the local hotel. Well, the hotel owner then reported that he spent $100 and some there at the hotel. So that aroused their suspicion.
Yeah. And he also didn't he say he's going to loan somebody like $300 or something like that.
Right.
So,
right.
And they saw that he had a knife that was known to belong to one of the other guys.
Yeah. So they started getting suspicious. So then they sat him down and said, all right, tell me the real story. So he issued his first confession. General Adams that was at that fort. And he said, first guy died. He was eaten by the other five about 10 days out of camp. 4 or 5 days afterwards, Humphreys died, was also eaten. He had about $133, and I found the pocketbook and took the money. Sometime afterwards, while I was carrying wood, the butcher was killed, as the other two told me, accidentally. He was also eaten. Bell shot California. That was the guy's name, California. It wasn't Randy California either from the Led Zeppelin case.
Great name.
Bell shot California with Swan's gun, and I killed Bell. Shot him. I covered up the remains and took a large piece along. Traveled 14 days into the agency. Bell wanted to kill me with his rifle, but he struck a tree and broke his gun. So he's basically saying, yeah, they died one by one and we ate them. And then eventually this other guy, Bell, he killed one and tried to kill me, so I had to kill him. So I ate the rest of them and took some with me to hike out of here.
Yeah, it was the classic, oh, I didn't really do it. It was those other guys. They did it.
Yeah. So they believed that if he was telling the truth, that he would have no problem leading a party back to the original campsite, and they could kind of reconstruct. It amazes me that in those days they felt they could reconstruct something. I mean, because they didn't have forensic scientists or things like that, getting DNA and all the kind of technology that they have.
You should ask him to floss his teeth.
I doubt he had. Well, yeah, that's true. If they were probably wooden, so
could have taken them out.
Yeah, just take them out. Hand over your teeth. Well, that'd be a legal search and seizure, I guess. But so then he tried to escape while they were taking him back up, and actually lunged at one of the guards with a knife. So then they thought, something's up here.
Right.
We need a better story. So they sat him down again, that same General Parker, and said, all right, now, boy, we got to get the straight story. So then he came back and he said that instead of claiming that the men gradually killed each other to survive, Packer now claimed that Shannon Bell had killed all the others while Packer was out scouting. And then on April 6th, a trial began in Lake City, Colorado, and 7 days later, Packer was found guilty of premeditated murder and sentenced to death by hanging.
Seems like if you're going to have a story about cannibalism, better just get one and go with it, not searching around.
Well, yeah, first they all died one at a time and we ate them. Now you're saying the other guy killed everybody and I just happened to come back and kill him.
Right.
Pretty convenient, huh? Well, what was... I guess they had a lot of colorful characters back in those days. And this judge, they have the version that was reported by the newspaper of how the ruling went. And then they have the version of how the court order went down that was officially submitted. I'm picturing, when I read this, I'm picturing Yosemite Sam sitting up there.
I can see that.
He says, this is a quote that the newspaper put in, that the judge looked at him upon handing down the sentence. Stand up, you voracious, man-eating son of a bitch, and receive your sentence. When you came to Hinsdale County, there was 7 Democrats, but you ate 5 of them. God damn you. I sentence you to be hanged by the neck until you're dead, as a warning again reducing the Democratic population of this county. Packer, you Republican cannibal, I would sentence you to hell, but the statutes forbid it. That was great.
Yeah, I would love to be in a courtroom and see a judge just unleash that.
And picture Yosemite Sam doing it. You rascally rabbit.
Shooting his guns off as he does it.
But the court record, though, when they reported what it said, Alfred Packer. The judgment of this court is that you be removed from hence to the jail of Hinsdale County
and there confined until the 19th day of May, A.D. 1883, and that on said 19th day of May, 1883, you be taken from hence by the sheriff of Hinsdale County to a place of execution prepared for this purpose, at some point within the corporate limits of the town of Lake City, in the said county of Hinsdale, and between the hours of 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. of said day, you then and there, by said sheriff, be hung by the neck until you are dead, 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 and may God have mercy upon your soul.
There's nothing in that version about Democrats.
No, that's a completely purified version there.
Yeah. I wonder, like, if that the judge just had a really loyal court reporter, and the court reporter's like, oh, I can't take that down.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's like that great secretary that you have that fixes all your errors, you know, so that they don't go out and it makes you look like you're not the dumbass that you really are. So.
Yeah.
But I think the newspaper guy must have had it in for him, because the newspaper guy reported exactly what he said, unless he made it up. But I don't think you could make that up. That was too good. you Republican cannibal. There's five Democrats. You reduced the Democrat population.
There was only 7 Democrats in Hinsdale County.
And 5 of them.
Yeah, 5 of them.
What's the legal limit on eating Democrats? With 6, you get egg roll. Oh, God. Don't tell Donald Trump it works like that. He'll start eating all of them.
Yeah. I wouldn't put it past him.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, Packer ended up actually not being hung, because they appealed it and the Colorado Supreme Court reversed it. They said that it was reversed on ex post facto law. And
what's ex post facto law?
Ex post facto basically means that the law was changed after you had committed that crime, after you had done it. So they used like a law that was not in existence at the time to, I guess, judge him or try him. So,
it was like the law was passed after he had already done that, and then they tried to apply that to something he had already done.
Correct.
I got you.
That's ex post facto.
Ex post facto.
Yeah.
I like that. That sounds smart. I'm going to use that sometime.
That's ex post facto. Don't confuse me with that.
You better say it right or it won't count.
But Mr. Smurl, did you want pickles on your cheeseburger or not?
At the time, pickles were not available. That's ex post facto.
So they had a second trial. Surprisingly enough, he was found guilty again, but this time it was 5 counts of manslaughter. And he was sentenced to 40 years, 8 years for each arm or count.
40 years, but what was that, 5 guys? So it's 5 years per guy.
Yep, 5 years. And eventually he was actually paroled.
He didn't really serve a whole lot of that sentence, because that was 1886. June of 1886, when he was convicted of the 5 counts of manslaughter, and then it says he was paroled in 1901.
Yeah, so he didn't serve very long.
15 years, I guess. So he got 3 years per edible.
Per edible? That's per a different edible. Kind of Colorado edible. The interesting thing about the story about him is that supposedly he became a vegetarian before his death.
Why would they mention that he became a vegetarian? Is that saying that he swore off meat after that, he couldn't eat meat anymore? Because every time he ate meat, he pictured, oh, there's Belle.
Oh, Belle. I wonder if one of those Democrats' name was Richard Parker.
It could have been.
So the interesting thing about this guy is that the University of Colorado named their cafeteria after him. There's also, I believe, some festivals that they have in Colorado to celebrate this guy, where they actually take like hamburger meat and fashion it into different appendages and cook it and eat it.
Yeah, in 1968, the students at the University of Colorado Boulder named their new cafeteria grill the Alfred G. Packer Memorial Grill, with the slogan, "Have a friend for lunch." And the students can order an El Cannibal beef burger. Then they renamed it in 1977, the same type thing, the Alfred Packer Memorial Grill, but it was causing embarrassment for the university, so they eventually removed the plaque, and the plaque is currently displayed on the wall of the National Press Club's members only bar. The Press Club's hamburger is called the Alfred Packer Burger. Yeah, and I think that festival you're talking about, it takes place in Philadelphia,
I was in Philadelphia.
It's because he was from that area. He was from Allegheny County in Pennsylvania before he went out to Colorado. And they hold a festival there each year, the Alfred E. Packer, and they have a Alfred E. Packer Memorial Dining Hall, and it says Serving Humanity Since 1874.
There's been some other cases, like a bit more recently, there was a Salvadorian fisherman who was at sea for quite some time, and there was rumors that he had eaten one of his boatmates. But he was actually never charged or anything like that. But his family did end up, the other family did try to sue him for that.
Well, but he wasn't honest, or, I mean, if he did eat him, he wasn't like the other one. The other one just came back in and said, oh yeah, we ate him. Yeah, that's the way you do it. It's frowned upon, but it's not against the law.
Right.
What? It is? Oh, crap.
I think I read that somewhere. That's the law, right?
Yeah, right. I'm okay, right? Oh, crap.
So what happened to Richard Parker out there? Don't know.
Don't know.
Why are there teeth marks in him? Yeah, don't know.
If they were smart, they didn't bring the remnants in.
Yeah.
If they were smart, they tossed it overboard.
I ain't saying.
Burp. That smelled an awful lot like Richard Parker, that burp did. You know, I guess it's okay to laugh about those things now. I mean, heck, they even made a musical, Cannibal the Musical, about Alfred Packer.
Yeah.
And that was a movie, and then they made a musical about it, an actual stage show. And they've had several other versions of the thing.
Yeah, the Avett Brothers named their first album after the ship from that R.V. Parker Stevens case, or Stevens Dudley case, the Minyette.
Yeah, I guess if you're a sea person, you probably are familiar with those things. You know, I mean, I guess they study up on those. Jimmy Buffett probably knows all about that.
Right. Probably get a pamphlet when you buy a boat.
It's maybe like, that's what his hamburger in paradise is.
Oh, no.
Cheeseburger in paradise.
Cheese Parker in paradise.
Medium rare with a toe would be nice. Worth every damn bit of his sacrifice. I need a Parker burger in paradise.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. Now we'll get sued by Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah.
That's his IP, right?
Well, I don't know. It's out there.
Oh, Weird Al gets away with it, huh?
I think he gets permission, though.
I could be Weird Tom.
Well.
There were some other times that the same type thing took place. When I was looking in the Siege of Leningrad, they were cut off from all supplies by the Nazi forces, and they spent like 8 months basically starving the whole town out. And the people there turned to eating each other, and they had to develop a whole unit whose main focus was to keep people from eating each other. And 260 people were arrested and jailed for eating human flesh, and parents had to keep children home after the dark to prevent them from being kidnapped for meat.
That's horrible.
That reminds me of the movie with Full Metal Jacket, I think.
Yeah.
And the guy was up there with the helicopter guy who was shooting people on the ground and said, how can you shoot women and children like that? He goes, it's easy. You just don't lead them as much.
Yeah.
They went after the kids. They're nice, tender morsels.
It's probably kind of like lions in the wild. And just go after the weak.
And then
small.
One of the other cases, which is fairly popular, there was a movie that was made in 1993 called Alive about it. A rugby team from Uruguay crashed in the Andes, and 45 of them were on the plane when they crashed, and 11 of them survived, and they survived by eating the rest of them. But now, they didn't kill any of them. They were all already dead. At least, they got their story straight.
Right.
They said that. They were all dead, so they ate them and survived 2 months in sub-zero temperatures up there by eating the other members on their team.
That's a sad movie, too, if you've ever seen that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, think about those circumstances.
Yeah. Horrible.
That's current enough. You can't laugh about that.
No.
You can laugh about things in the 1800s, I guess.
Well, yeah.
Hey, you can't laugh about something like that.
No, I mean, it's so far removed.
There's no joke there.
No. So far removed, like in the 1800s, you think about kind of whimsical, like life on the sea, and you know, you can kind of joke and make fun about it. But the reality of being on a plane and crashing on a mountaintop with like your teammates and having to eat them is horrible.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, the cases, that's what, when I was looking to see if there was any cases of current where that was used as a defense. And, you know, there, I couldn't find anything where that was. Is all the other ones that were involved were the people were already dead when they ate them.
Yeah.
So either they learned what to say and they didn't want to test that law anymore, or they were actually dead before they ate them. But either way, it's horrible.
Yeah.
I think I'd become a vegetarian too.
Yeah. I might even after this podcast. I don't know. Well, that's going to bring us to our favorite part of the show.
Legal
briefs is the part of the show where we kind of recap some of the legal terms that we've gone over, which we actually didn't go over a lot of legal terms this show.
We went over cooking terms.
Yeah.
Medium rare with mustard, be nice.
Yeah, I'm never going to be able to listen to Cheeseburger in Paradise the same way without thinking about eating a toe. The first term is inevitable necessity.
Inevitable necessity. That has to do with when you're shipwrecked and you're on the boat and inevitably somebody's going to die. So you draw lots and eat one to save the others. So that's your defense, is inevitable necessity. We had to do it for the rest of us to live.
That's right. And it's actually not a valid defense. You're not allowed to do that.
No. You can only eat them after they're dead.
Yes.
Or after you've said they're dead. You're all in agreement. You got to get Brooks sitting over there in the corner to nod in agreement. He's dead. Right, Brooks? Right? Or you're next. We're going to eat your ass if you don't, get in there. You're next. You got a nice looking arm. You know, we're going to get you next, beefcakes. That's what I'd have told him. Look, either you're in on this or we're going to eat you next.
Yeah.
I mean, what have you got to lose at that point? You already ate a guy. How low can you go?
I don't understand how Brooks didn't get in on that as well. I mean, it's so strange to have two of them say, yeah, we did it. But yeah, Brooks just ate it after it was done.
And he ate the majority, too. He ate more than one of the guys that actually killed him. Yeah. At least the guy must have had his conscience.
That's what I'm saying, he had a clear conscience. He was just like,
eh. I mean, he had the guy that killed him, though. He had a conscience. He couldn't eat as much of him. No. He felt bad after killing him. He could only eat a little bit.
Yeah, well, Brooks was maybe just like, oh, you good?
Well, he's already dead. I'm hungry. What the hell? He dug right in.
That leads into our next term, the custom of the sea.
Custom of the sea is that basically set on past precedent, that it has happened in the past in sea matters, so therefore it would stand to reason now.
Yep, and that tied also in with the necessity, because it was the custom of the sea where they could say, yep, we're gonna have to eat somebody to save ourselves. It's a necessity.
I still want to hear how that conversation is brought up. Hey guys, what do you think about eating one of us? I don't know. Well, I've kind of been thinking that too.
You guys hungry at all? You want some Totino's? No? No? How about an arm?
Hey, look, I've had a bad leg for a while, so I really won't miss it that much. And I'd be a goner. I got two bad legs and a bad arm.
Yeah.
I'd be the first one they're looking at.
Yeah.
You don't need those things anyway. They're not doing you much good.
Low Country Tom. His meat's probably all sweet. Yeah. Meeting all that Low Country.
Tom. We're going to get some potatoes and sausages and shrimp out of there. Well, I know we're going to eat that guy. He's tenderized from the inside out. Man, I'm not getting any more boats. That's it.
Yeah.
I'm too scrumptious. Yeah. I know they'd eat me. I'm like a deep fried Twinkie.
You're not going to go on. You're not going to go on Shiprock?
No, I'm not going on Shiprock.
Like, we might write a movie. It's Shiprock. So it's everybody's on this pleasure cruise with all their favorite rock bands. But then they get shipwrecked, and they have to turn to cannibalism.
Well, that could work. That's what I was thinking when I read that story about Leningrad. I mean, we watch The Walking Dead and think, you know, oh, that'd be terrible to live like that. These people lived like that. I mean, they weren't zombies, but what difference does it make? They're still eating you, whether they're the living dead or the living. They're still eating you.
Yeah, and it's actually a little bit scarier.
Yeah.
They're kind of like...
They can move faster. Zombies can't move too fast, but...
Yeah.
People can.
The Walking Dead zombies can't move fast. Some zombies move fast in some movies.
Yeah, like in World War Z.
Yeah.
You see those zombies?
Those are the most terrifying zombies to me, the fast movies.
Oh, my God. Those zombies could run down Usain Bolt, whatever his name is.
Usain Bolt?
Yeah, that guy. Insane Bolt.
You really are bad with names.
I never get them right.
All right. The last term is ex post facto.
Ex post facto. That means when they pass a new law and try to apply it to something that happened before the law took effect, and they try to apply it to something that happened before, and you can't do that because it's ex post facto.
Exactly.
Of course, it's exactly. That's why I want to use that word. I got to find some way to use that. Ex post facto.
Just use it in your everyday lingo.
Say it to some guy that makes me mad. You are ex post facto.
Go to Starbucks. Can I get a soy venti latte? Can you make that ex post facto, please? What?
And a grande?
A grande.
And a grande latte. I just go there and say, I just want a black coffee.
Yeah.
Can I have a big black coffee? That's all I want.
Large.
No, a big one. I want a big black coffee. I don't want any of that stuff. Don't put any fruits or vegetables and no foams, no shots of nothing, no frizzy stuff. Don't draw any pictures on it. Just give me a damn black coffee. A big one.
It's funny how you have to have almost like a dictionary to order coffee at Starbucks.
I can't do it. I don't even like to order for people that tell me. I'm embarrassed to go up and ask for those things. I want a triple frosted latte, low sugar, cream on the side, really frolly something. I can't even say those things. I don't know what they are.
You don't speak Starbucks?
No, I don't speak Starbucks. I avoid them. I won't go to them. I'll go get a coffee from McDonald's. You say you want a big black coffee, they'll give you a big black coffee.
Yeah. Three creams in it? No problem. You don't have to say Trace.
I keep hoping I'll drop it in my lap so I can get a big lawsuit like that old lady did.
Oh, yeah. That's a good... We should talk about that. Maybe our next podcast.
Our next one?
Yeah, our next one.
Hopefully we'll have a next one.
Yeah, if people like this one.
Yeah, if the sponsors don't cancel us. Whenever I like a show, it gets canceled. The Grinder got canceled. I can't believe that. The Grinder was one of my favorite shows, and it got canceled.
Maybe we should contact Rob Lowe and see if he can come on as a guest.
Yeah, he's out of work.
Yeah, he's free now, right?
Yeah. I wonder if we could do that. Hey, Rob Lowe, meet Folo.
Folo. Rob Lowe, Folo.
Rob Lowe, Folo. Folo, Rob Lowe.
You played a lawyer pretending. You played someone pretending to be a lawyer on TV, and I'm actually a lawyer. Let's talk.
I'm a lawyer on a podcast.
Yeah.
And I am just a dude. Well, we better wrap it up here.
Let's wrap it up. Well, that's going to do it.
I'm hungry after all this. I've got to go get something to eat. Richard? Richard Parker.
Table for one.
Table for two, but there'll only be one check.
Table for two. Just bring one place set in.
He won't need any. If your name's Richard Parker, change it. You're in trouble. Don't go on a boat. This is a warning.
Do not become a seaman.
I know we say, don't talk about seaman. I know that we say that don't use this for legal advice, but we're warning you, if your name's Richard Parker, don't get on a boat. That's some good advice.
Well, that's going to do it. Thanks to everybody for listening, and thanks to MCRB for use of their song, Doctor, Lawyer, Indian Chief.
And thanks to the McElroy Stable of Podcasts for the use of their recording studio. Their podcasts include Mabim Bam, Sawbones, and Still Buffering, as well as many other fine offerings. And please, take the time to rate and review us on iTunes, especially if you liked us. If you didn't, well then, not so much.
You're not supposed to say that.
You always edit that out though, right?
Usually.
Good.
This has been Court Appointed. I'm Mike Meadows, your co-host. I'm a lawyer and a dude.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Sprung, and I...